Awesome. Good morning, everyone. Yep, come on up, girls. Super. Since it's Children's Sunday, I decided that it would be good to bring back the children's moments and things. And I had two volunteers, and this is the lesson that we are learning this week for our elementary students. So we've decided that it would be a good opportunity for us to tell you what we are learning using story sticks. So there is a story in the Bible, and that tells of 10 men that got an incredible gift. You see, they had leprosy, which was a terrible skin disease, and they had bandages all over their bodies. Anyone with leprosy had to leave their homes, their family, and their friends, even their town. They were sad and lonely. They lived with others who had leprosy, and some people thought that even God didn't love them. But then Jesus and his disciples came to where they lived, outside of the village. They were desperate for help. There was nothing that they can do. They shouted, "Stay back! Stay away from us!" And then they said that when they recognized Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus did have pity on them. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests, because the priests were the only ones who can say that they were clean. They believed and obeyed Jesus. On the way, they were healed, and they could remove their bandages. Their skin became normal like everyone else. Can you imagine their happy cheers and cries? Because now they can go back to their home, to their family and friends once again. They could be like everybody else. And that is exactly what 9 of them did. But there was one who was a Samaritan, and he turned around and went back the other way to Jesus. He went back to Jesus, loudly praising God, singing him praises. And when he reached Jesus, he fell at Jesus' feet and shouted his thanks. Now, Jesus didn't say that they had to come back to thank him, but he seemed to expect it as he looked for the other 9 and didn't see them. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said something amazing to him. He said, "Rise and get up. Your faith has made you well." So the Samaritan got up and went back to his home. So that's the story of how Jesus healed the 10 lepers, told with story sticks. Good job, ladies. Thank you very much. Well, it's at this time, kids, you can leave for kids' time here. Let me get a couple things. As we, like I said, welcome you to Children's Sunday. I am excited to bring the message here today. Let me get some props and different things in order, as I like to have visual aids and everything. So I'll tell you what, I just love working with kids. I mean, it is so much fun. And I mean, I love helping them to use their creativity to tell others about Jesus's love. Maybe it's through story sticks, something like that. Or you know, maybe we learned some balloons the other day. You know, just how can we use our creativity to teach others about Jesus? It's so much fun. And I think many of you are probably like me, that we like it when our gifts are used, or we like it when we pass something on to somebody else. Maybe we're a supervisor and we pass something on to, you know, an employee. You know, maybe it's in the family. Maybe you're a coach. Whatever it is, I think, you know, we tend to work hard, and what we want to pass on is usually something good. And that's what we're talking about today. This Sunday, we're talking about children and how we can be helping them. We can be very intentional as a coach, as a teacher, as a supervisor about what we say and do. Now, today, we're going to be talking about this thing, and I'm going to use this word that we don't use very often, and that word is legacy. I'm going to use this, and the word for legacy, the definition, Merriam-Webster has one of the definitions of legacy as something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. Now, I'm going to need a little leeway here, because I want to use legacy in a little bit different way. I think that when we hear legacy, we often think of, you know, what's that one positive thing that I'm going to be known for? Or that, what's that one thing that, you know, that grandma or grandpa was known for in the past? And I'm going to, you know, try to just use legacy in a little bit different way. But that one thing that, you know, I'm going to say for legacy that we sometimes think of, I'm going to use this. We don't have china in our house, but imagine this. This is the best mug that we have in our house. These were given to us. Imagine that, you know, let's compare legacy to that china cup that you might have in your cupboard, okay? You know, there's that one special thing that we leave behind. But today, I'm going to add some things to the definition of legacy, and I hope you'll give me a little leeway here. The first is a simpler but wider definition of legacy. And I want to use legacy as, it's what we leave behind. It's what we leave behind. And the second is this glass, this tumbler. And I'll get into these in a little bit more as far as the definitions for them and why we're using them. You see, we don't use the word legacy very often, but we do use words like teach, instruct, things we pass down. And many of you might not know, but in college, when I was in college, I played volleyball. And then after college, I went on and I coached volleyball for 3 years at Messiah College, the men's team. And then I coached various high school teams since then. One of the things that I did, I was a setter. So one of the things that I did often when I was teaching, I've taught many people how to use their hands nice and softly for setting. Because, you know, that was my specialty. That's something that I passed on to them. That's something that I instructed them. When I coached Little League, you know, what do we do for Little League? If it's a little guy, a little girl, we, you know, have them hold the bat. Sometimes we put our arms around them just like that so we can teach them the mechanics of a good swing. Same thing if we're coaching another sport. Same thing if we are teaching them, you know, maybe the keyboard or piano. We sometimes put our fingers over them and help them figure out where they go, or a violin, or maybe it's how to turn a wrench in the garage, or maybe it's how to safely use a knife in the kitchen. Many of us do hands-on instruction for these things so that we can help them learn in a more effective manner, a safer manner, make things easier. Now, I don't know about you, people who aren't teenagers and things like that, people who are older, but the one thing I didn't really get a lot of instruction on growing up was parenting. I mean, it's not like you need to pass a test to be a parent or anything, okay? I mean, I remember when we brought our son home from the hospital, our oldest son. Now, our experience might have been different than yours. He was born at 27 weeks, 6 days, gestation, however you pronounce that word. And he was 2 pounds, 1 ounce when he was born. He dropped to 112. So he was in the hospital the first 10 and a half weeks in his life in the NICU. So he was hooked up to all kinds of tubes, wires, monitors that were monitoring him. And if he was having trouble, alarms would sound, and he was filled with, you know, the room was filled with nurses, technicians, doctors who were there to make sure that he was living and that he would be growing. I can remember when we brought him from the hospital, Beth and I looked at each other and we're like, what do we do now? What happens if we mess up? Is somebody going to come back and take him away from us? I mean, we were confused as far as what we would do. And I think that's how sometimes a lot of parents feel, you know, when they are raising kids, especially when we get to spiritual things, spiritual aspects. You know, when we're talking about how we raise them spiritually. In Proverbs, we talked about start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. But as a parent, what does that mean? I mean, as parents, we instinctively do a lot for our kids. We hold their hands as they're learning to walk. We teach them how to use a sippy cup and then a regular cup without spilling it all over the front of their shirts. We do all these things to help kids, but sometimes we're not sure of what to do about training them, about teaching them about spiritual things. And that's why some parents, I think, do what I'd like to say. They go through kind of the car wash phase where they're like, okay, I don't know what to do. So I'm going to bring them to church. You fix them up. I'll take them home for the week. I'll try not to mess them up too much. And we'll bring them back next week. And you fix it again. Okay? You clean them up and things like that. Well, you know, if that is the, you know, the all the spiritual development the children, the teen gets, you know, that's great. That's better than nothing. But unfortunately, about 75% of the people who go through that by the time they're in their mid-20s step away from the church. You see, it's okay and it's better than nothing, but it's not necessarily the best way. If you come to church, if you say, okay, I'm going to come to church every week, except when we're sick or on vacation, have a soccer tournament, you know, there's 52 weeks in a year. So say it's 40 to 50. Say you make almost every week. So 50 hours a year that you're going to be bringing them to church. And that's great. And we're going to do whatever we can. I mean, there's so many things that we want to do and that we do that we think are pretty awesome as far as teaching age appropriateness, keeping the kids in the same, you know, peer group so that they could be learning together and feeding off on one another, having a parent, an adult influence in their life that is somebody other than a parent so they could be saying the same thing that parents are saying. We're doing all these things which are awesome and helping so much. But there's so much more we could do because those 50 hours a year, I did the math a couple years ago when my kids, you know, were growing up, and say that's an hour a week. We spent more than an hour a week in our minivan as a family, going to the grocery store, going to soccer practice, going to school. It's amazing how much time we spent just in the minivan, and it was the same as going to church. Now, parents, I'm not going to be saying, hey, you need to be reading this book or doing all this big strategy. And I know I'm saying a lot about parents, and I know a lot of you are either past that parent stage or haven't done that, but there's so much that applies to us too. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, neighbors, all sorts of things. We have some ancient wisdom here that Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You see, God is speaking through Moses, and when Moses is speaking, he's speaking to all of Israel, and he uses the word you, and it's not like just you parents. It's kind of like a southern yuns or y'all, okay? It's kind of everybody is what he's saying here when he says this. So Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to do the 4, verse 4 to 6 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. In other words, you should be loving God. You should be integrating this into your life, this spiritual rhythm that Moses is giving all of Israel, not just parents. And then it goes on, verse 7 says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Impress them on your children. Let me ask a question for you to mentally think here. When was the last time somebody impressed you? And when they impressed you, was it something that they said? Or did they impress you with something that they did? Did somebody impress you by saying, I'm going to give $1,000 to that family in need? Or did they maybe impress you by giving $1,000 to that family in need? Impress them on your children. This is another way of saying, demonstrate these to your children. And then he goes four main times that are awesome just to integrate it and simple. Talk about them when you sit at home. If you have dinner together, even two or three times a week, what a wonderful time just to sit and to talk about these things, about how God, you know, is moving your life. You could relate stories of, hey, this happened at work and I could use some extra prayer for this. Or, hey, how did that test go in school? Or how did this go? A time to talk about faith issues just in your normal day. When you walk along the road, we don't walk along the road much anymore, but we do have travel time, whether it be in a minivan, a truck, a car, whatever it is. When you're walking along the road and you pass Jim's house and you're like, oh, you know what? I think Jim's dog just died last week. Let's get them some flowers. Or, wow, look at that sunset. It's so beauty. Look at God's creation and how wonderful it is. Or, hey, you know what? We just saw Judy in the grocery store and I ended our conversation a little short. Can you remind me when we get home to text her and just apologize for ending it short? We were running late and I didn't really say that. Discussing spiritual things and how we can be sharing God's love with others. Two more times. When you lie down is the third time. Bedtime. What a wonderful time just to be overviewing what happened throughout the day, that a parent can be telling their children, a spouse can be telling the other spouse, hey, this is what I was thinking when this person cut me off as I was driving, or this is how God was able to use me today at work or at school. And then the fourth time is when you get up in the morning, when you're planning your day. Hey, what do you have going on today? How are you going to shower others with Christ's love today? Oh, Sue, you've got a test at 2 o'clock. Hey, let me put a note in everybody's lunchbox so that we could pray for her as you're eating lunch, whether you're at work or school. Some simple times of how we can integrate our spiritual development, whether we're a parent or not, throughout our day. How we can have spiritual legacy as it goes on. You see, all of this to say, I believe Moses is telling everybody that we need to integrate our spiritual development into our everyday life. Things that we do every day, not just things that we do once or twice a year. You see, as a church, like I said, we're going to do our part. We're going to do the best that we can because it's wonderful to come here, to fellowship together, to inspire one another, to worship together, all important things. But there's also so much that can be done outside of church. The rhythm should be a part of our daily life. I mean, if we look at Jesus, you know, his last week on earth when he was at the Last Supper and they just had their meal, he just broke apart the bread, drank the wine, and during this whole thing, what also did he do? He got down and he washed the disciples' feet. And what does he say? In John 13, says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So is Jesus saying to his disciples, to his kemosabes, to his best friends, hey, once a year, you know, next year when you celebrate Passover, wash each other's feet. That's the one time a year you should serve each other. Is that what he's saying? No, of course not. He's saying we should be doing this every day. We should be a servant every day. It's to be daily. In 1 Corinthians, we have Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he's basically saying the same thing. In chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I have passed them on to you. You see, I'm saying that our spiritual development, the spiritual legacy that we leave with our kids, with our grandkids, with our neighbors who know that we are Christian, that it's not just about one or two events a year. It's not just one thing that we leave behind, but it's much more of something that happens on a daily basis. You see, my kids and my family, they don't really know that. I mean, this sits in our cupboard, and it does have, kind of our china cabinet. It does have a glass front, so they see it. It's sitting there. We never get this out. But this is something that they see every day. I mean, this gets tossed around. It gets used by everyone in the family. It gets put in a dishwasher. It might develop, there's a couple scratches on it, a couple cracks. But that's okay. It's worked into the everyday rhythm of our life. And I wonder if God and Moses are saying the same thing, that spiritual development is best when it's woven throughout our daily life, just like these everyday dishes are part of our daily life. I mean, if I would bring this out, no one in my family, my kids, they would probably feel uncomfortable. Like, okay, how do you hold it? What do you do? Because we don't use it. We don't use it, but we do use our everyday dishes. Now, one other thing I want to say is, and this is something I always say to parents at, you know, child dedication time, or we're talking about things, is keep the end in mind. What's the end game? Parent with the end in mind. In other words, what do you want your child to be when they grow up? If you want your child, if you want your grandchild, if you want your niece, your nephew to be in prayer and to be praying to God, not only do we need to teach them how to pray and demonstrate it, but it's even more powerful when they catch us praying. When they walk into your room and find you on your knees praying, it has so much more of an impact because they see what you are doing and it's involved in your life. If you want your child to be generous, not only do you need to teach them about generosity, but they need to see you being generous. If you want them to be kind, you need to be kind. Not only do you teach them about kindness, but you show them kindness as you're driving along the road and somebody pulls out right in front of you, and you show them kindness and maybe forgiveness and not passive aggressiveness by riding on their bumper for the next half mile just to show them that, hey, I was here first, and you're not shouting any obscenities at them, but you're still being a little passive aggressive maybe, but how do we show kindness and forgiveness? You see, modeling works. We said that earlier, swinging a baseball bat, how to cut up vegetables safely without cutting your fingers off. We show them how to do that, and that modeling happens. I mean, how many parents have seen their children be like a mini-me? Sometimes, you know, the child says something or has mannerisms just like the parent. Is that something you've taught them? No, but it's something that they have caught. You see, the intentional legacy, the one thing that we want to leave behind, I think is great. But there's also unintentional legacy, with sometimes unintended consequences. After we said about Moses, Moses leading the Israelites, who is next? Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 2, when Joshua dies, it says, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord and the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped the various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because of this. You see, even when we don't think we're leaving a legacy, we are leaving a legacy. It could be something big. It can be something small. We all have influence over other people, and whether we admit it or not, people have influence on us. When we drive home and see the neighbor's lawn nicely mowed, kind of makes ours look a little shabby. That kind of puts a little internal pressure on us. Maybe, okay, I need to mow my grass. Or if they get their Christmas decorations up and it looks nice, oh, maybe it's time for me. We can all be influenced by others. Now, somebody as old as me, if I'm a right-handed, but let me try to do this left-handed and not hit anything here. Back in the 70s, you know, when I was in Little League, there was a professional baseball player who had a swing kind of like this. He was left-handed, and then when he come to bat, he would, you know, Willie Stargell back in the 70s. He had this, you know, kind of crazy get-ready scheme, and lo and behold, lots of kids on my Little League team were imitating his swing. Did he ever come and instruct them on the swing, on his routine? No, but they saw it, and they imitated it. How many of the kids today see Dude Perfect and are trying all these crazy shots, all these wonderful things, or water bottle flips, or all these things? They're seeing it and they're imitating it. They're trying to be like that. It could be fun. And sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. Like growing up, you know, when I grew up, Christmas was a big thing, but my mom loved one album and one Christmas album only, and that was Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Okay, that's what she loved. And lo and behold, when White Christmas came on TV, we watched it as a family. I grew up, it's a little quirky, but I still really like it, and I still watch it. And lo and behold, you know, there was one time, and if you've never seen it, we're going to show a brief clip here in a second, but if you've never seen it, you got Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye. This is early in the movie. They have a production company. They're going to see two sisters perform a routine. And the two sisters get accused of something by the hotel they're staying at, so they're trying to slip away. So, you know, they didn't do anything bad, but they're trying to slip away. And Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye kind of step in and, you know, kind of do a spoof of their routine. So let's watch this video right here.
Sisters, there were never such devoted sisters. Never had to.
Okay, that's enough right there. That kind of gives us a view of what's happening. That's good. Now, we don't have to go through the whole routine there, but they're doing this routine so the girls can get away. Well, lo and behold, I'm in my living room watching the TV. In the next room over, they can't see the TV, but they could hear it, is my wife and two boys. This is several years ago. And what are my boys doing? They are singing along with it and doing the motions for the song. Now, am I trying to pass down my love of and my mom's love of White Christmas to my boys? No. But they're imitating it. They've caught on to it. I mean, as parents, there's many things that we've tried to put in place in our family to help development, spiritual development. One, you know, everybody here, I think, knows that I love doing balloons. And, well, my whole family does balloons. We do some events together, and we greatly enjoy doing it together. There's some other things that we've done. You know, before our kids were 12 years old, we took them to 3 missions trips to Mexico to a children's home. You know, even when they were little, the first time we went, I think our youngest was 3 years old, because we wanted to integrate that into their daily life of what it was like. We serve together. My youngest son loves to lead worship. My wife loves to do motions with songs. My oldest son likes to kind of be my co-host and do things. And we're going to do that at Jingle Jam, you know, our Christmas event for kids coming up December 12th. The 4 of us are going to do it together. Things that we've integrated into our family life that we love to do together. But there are many things that they have caught that we have not tried to teach them. Some good, some bad. Parents have a huge influence on the life of children. Grandparents, you've got a big influence. Aunts, uncles, you have a big influence also. We said earlier that modeling works. It works. And that means it works when we want it to. And that means it works when we don't want it to. I mean, there's numerous parents that I've talked to that, you know, they've jokingly said that their child, you know, imitated them in the back seat and said a bad word or said something that was totally out of character or out of context because they heard their parents say it. It goes for all of us. People are watching us. And if we call ourselves a Christ follower, if we say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, I want to be Jesus with skin on is a common phrase. I want people, you know, to feel God's love through me. I think that's wonderful. And 1 Corinthians 11 says, you know, this is Paul saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In other words, maybe we also should say, watch how I react when we're at the restaurant and the waiter brings me the wrong order or doesn't fix my sandwich the same way. You know, don't just listen to the words I say, but how am I reacting to that? Watch how I do that. Kids, watch me. Coworkers, watch. You know that I go to church, that I follow Jesus. I told you about that. Watch how I react to that. Watch when I'm driving and someone does cut me off and no one can hear me if I mumble under my breath or things like that, but watch how I react in that situation. Watch me when I'm back at that restaurant and how stingy or a generous tip that I give that person, even if they messed up my order. Watch me, because I can guarantee others are watching us. Our kids are watching you. Our kids are watching you when you're in here worshiping, when you're singing praises to God, and how awesome that is. And that's one of the best things about having kids in here, so that they can see others worship and learn from it and imitate it. As Christ followers, we are wearing that sign. Deuteronomy, it says, put the scriptures on your forehead. Wear them on your forehead. In other words, when people are seeing you, they are seeing God's message through you, through your eyes, through your spoken word, through your action. We are leaving a legacy all the time. I want us, like I said, I want to challenge everybody to be thinking legacy more like an everyday occurrence. That grocery store you go to every week, that every time you go in there and see that cashier, you are leaving a legacy behind of how you treat them. That when you go to that restaurant you frequent and talk to the staff there, that you are leaving a legacy behind. And as Christ followers, as imitators of Christ, it is so important, the message that we leave behind. God wants an everyday relationship with us. And parents, you have a huge influence on the life of children. But everybody in here, all of you do as well. The way you treat the kids in your neighborhood, whether they run across your lawn and accidentally, you know, bump into your mailbox, the way that you interact with them speaks volumes of how they feel God's love. If our God is an everyday God, and if Jesus really died for our sins, and if the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us is personal and intimate, then this spiritual development, then this spiritual legacy needs to be part of our everyday life. He wants to be a part of our everyday life. At the end of the day, God loves us. 100 years from now, it's not going to matter if somebody cut us off when we were driving. It's not going to matter that someone brought us the wrong sandwich or that a coworker messed up something or anything like that. No, what is critical is our love for God and how we're shining that towards others. It's so much more has to do with our actions than the things that we are trying to teach. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2 says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Let's have love be our legacy, the thing that we are passing down to those around us, not just our children, but to everyone around us. I think Jesus might have even said it. Love the Lord your God, our heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's let those two things be our legacy. Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. Father, I thank you for the many blessings you've given us, Father. Lord, you have showered us with your love with your forgiveness, with your understanding. Father, help us to turn that right around and to show our kids, to show our grandkids, to show our neighborhood kids, to show those we run into around our homes, our neighbors. Father, help us be a part of your legacy by showing others how much we love you and how much we love them. In your name we pray. Amen.